And it says, without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Do you believe that God has the power to do what he has promised? Give the Lord a hand one more time, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. He being fully persuaded, being fully, not halfway, but fully persuaded. When it comes to faith, I tell you, this year of 2021, we have started with faith, and we're going to continue with faith because we have to learn that we have to have faith in God no matter what. No matter what goes on in our life, have faith in God. Because Jesus said, have faith in God. If you do what Jesus said and you want to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus turned around to Peter and said, have faith in God. Can we say have faith in God this morning? When it comes to faith, a lot of people, and I would even go on to say a lot of believers, have one foot on this line, other side of the line called faith, and the other side of the line, their foot is on doubt. No matter how hard they try, they don't seem to make any progress to have both feet planted on the side of faith. If you watch them, because they'll talk, if you listen to them, they'll tell you that one minute they're going to say, oh, yes, amen, I believe the word. And then the next minute they're saying, well, I know that God says we're going to prosper us, but I tell you, I don't know how things are going bad, and I'm about to have these ulcers. I can't even sleep at night. Their faith is wavering. It's going back, and it's going forth. But when you dig a little deeper into that person, you're going to find out about them. You're going to find out through their actions that they are out of line with the word of God. See, when you're out of line with the word of God, faith just don't work the way that you think it should. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'm here to tell you that faith don't even work for a person like that. The Bible says a person with an unstable mind is, with a double mind is unstable in all their ways. Amen? So if you want to receive from God, you got to make a decision to have both feet over that line call faith. You see, a faith line is what you need when you want God to do the impossible in your life. Amen? And I know that we all want what physically seems impossible to be done in some of our lives at times, and people that we love at times, but you have to be on that side of the faith line where faith is full, where Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised to do. Amen? You need to be firm in your faith. But yet, if you keep wavering back and forth between your circumstances and what God has promised, amen, believing one this time and thinking about the other the next time, God can't do the impossible in your life. The next scripture says in Romans 4:16-17, it says, therefore, the promise comes through faith. That's the beginning of it. That the promise, you can't stand on the promise if you don't have faith. Therefore, the promise comes through faith so that it might be by grace. That the promise would be certain to all of the descendants and not only to those that are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before God, whom he believed, and who raises the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. While Abraham is the father of the Jews in a physical sense, he is the father of all of the Christ followers in a spiritual sense. As we follow his example and have the same kind of faith in God. You see, Abraham's faith in God was complete. He had full confidence in God's unmatched ability. It says in the scripture, he who raised the dead. Nobody else raised the dead. All those other prophets and all those other beings, all those other priests that were in the Old Testament, nobody raised the dead. But God raised the dead. And Abraham believed in the one who could raise the dead. As well as God's promise that he would call those things that did not exist as though they did. I want to know, have you ever told somebody something that is going to exist because you believed and you had faith in God, and they looked at you like it ain't going to happen? But see, when you have faith in God, you can call on those things as though they do exist already, before they exist. Amen? That's when you really know that you have faith, when you call on those things as though they already did, when you believe as though they already did, when you have the faith and you are fully persuaded that these things are going to happen. In Abraham's situation, hallelujah, in Abraham's situation, his faith has shown how much he trusted God. It said that he trusted God even though physically his body was already dead. His body was already dead physically. He was already 100 years old physically. How can somebody be the father of many nations and you are physically dead? You don't even have a seed yet. But God made that promise to Abraham. But even if Abraham wasn't physically dead, it says in scripture that he knew that his wife's body as well was already physically dead. Amen? So God is using two dead people that are physically dead to show that his promises are yes and amen. Abraham showed how much he trusted God, and God fulfilled his promises to make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. Now, Abraham is just like us. When we call on our faith, when we're fully persuaded, amen, that we got to deal with the natural facts. Abraham knew that he had to deal with the natural facts. When you deal with the natural facts, you're going to deal with people. And when you deal with people, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. But Abraham knew that there was no natural way for anything to happen with his body unless God's promise comes to him. Yet the word says that Abraham considered not his own body. I want to know, when you get in situations, do you consider not the situation, but you consider God's word? Do you consider God's promise? Amen? Abraham ignored all of the natural evidence around him and only believed. That means he was focused. One of the things that you have to have if you want full assurance and full faith is you have to be focused on the word of God. You got to be focused on your faith, because the enemy, what he wants to do is turn your focus away. He wants to distract you. He wants to make you look the other way instead of looking at God. Abraham was fully persuaded. He said that God was going to do what he was going to do, that he was able to perform. And God acted on Abraham's confidence. Somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere there was a line of faith where Abraham crossed that line of faith. When he crossed that line, he didn't tell nobody. But his actions showed that he crossed the line of faith. Amen? He made a commitment. He made a decision to go with the word of God. He chose to step past the point of no return. You know, when you're waffling, you can go either this way or you can go that way. And you definite, definitive statement or decision as to what you're going to do. In other words, you've made no commitment. But when Abraham decided that he was going to follow God's word, he made a commitment. I want to ask this morning, if something happened in your life and you were walking by faith, how much faith were you really walking on? The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded. If you and I are ever going to see God do the impossible, how many people want to see God do the impossible? If you want to see God do the impossible in your life, you're going to have to do the same thing. Abraham couldn't just say, oh, I'm persuaded. See, people like to say, oh, I'm persuaded. But see, there was a call of Abraham. You see, there was a call on Abraham. Just like each and every one of us have a call on our lives. There was a call on Abraham. There's a call on you and I. The call includes promises. It includes obligations. We must remember that the promises are the expectancy for things to come. We like when somebody promises us something. We like to get. Amen? But there are obligations that go along with the promises. Amen? And one of the obligations is a commitment. You have to agree to commit. God don't force you to commit. But you in your own will have got to agree to commit. Amen? God required Abraham's obedience and personal commitment to call him as his Lord, to call him as his leader, to say that, God, you are the authority of my life. Are you calling on God as your Lord? Are you calling on him as your leader? Is he the authority of your life? Are you calling on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you following the lead of Jesus? Have you placed all of your will and your way in the authority of Jesus Christ? Well, in order to receive, you have to do what was promised, and you have to be obedient. Let me tell you about the obedience. The obedience includes a trust in God's word, even though it don't seem humanly possible. Even though it don't seem possible in your eyes, you got to trust in God's words. Abraham was so obedient when God told him to leave. He left. He left the home that he knew. He left. God said, go, he went. Sometimes, being obedient to God, you might be in a situation that you need to leave. And it might not necessarily be home, but it's someplace that's nice, warm, and fuzzy where you at. When God tells you to leave, you better leave. It requires a sincere effort to live according to God's standards and do what God says is right. Now, I just want to remind you folks of just a little thing, a few things this morning. that when you do that, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be A-okay. That there's not going to be some things that go on in your life. I'm here to tell you that this morning, that there's going to be a Red Sea of difficulties. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So when you see that Red Sea of difficulty, keep on walking. There's going to be a Saul persecuting you. The Lord says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. There's going to be some Sauls persecuting you. But wait on the Lord. There's going to be some thorn in your flesh. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some humiliation. Know that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Come on, somebody. There's going to be some loneliness at times, like you're on your own island of Patmos. But the Bible says, I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. The Bible says you're going to be caught in the prison of somebody's hate. Jesus says, and you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he that shall persevere until the end, he shall be saved. Hallelujah. There's going to be the fire of trial. Amen. And John says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. That when all of these trials and tribulations are going on, that you're going to have peace. But in this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. No matter what your trial and your tribulation, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. He says, don't just take it as what I'm saying. He said, take heart, put it inside of you. Because when you got it hidden in your heart, when things come, it's right there. You can pull it out. It'll touch your head, your heart, your emotions. Hallelujah. He says there's going to be temptations of the devil. But he turns around and he says, no temptations has overtaken you that is not common to man. Let you know that whatever the temptations you go through, somebody else is going through it. That's why when we pray for one another. You pray for somebody else because somebody's going through the same thing that you're going through. You don't have to be selfish with your prayer, praying for somebody else. Somebody else needs to know that you went through it and they'll be able to get through it through too. God is faithful, the Bible says, and he'll never let you get tempted beyond your ability. Don't you know whatever that temptation is, you got to say, God, I know I can do this. Because God put it there. I can do this. When that temptation comes, the Bible also tells me that he will provide. He will provide. That means he'll make a way. He'll make a way when it doesn't seem like there's no way. He'll open a door that looks like it's shut. He'll shut a door that needs to be closed. He says he'll provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Hallelujah. And then we look at faith, the way Paul talks about faith. In the language that Paul was using in the New Testament, faith means a conviction into the truthfulness of God. Paul is saying that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. That Abraham had the faith knowing that God was truthful. It was a conviction of the truthfulness of God. This faith was a conviction. Have you ever had conviction in your heart? Have you ever been convicted of something? Have you ever had the conviction where you just knew that something that somebody said, somebody did, or whatever it was wrong. And it was all over you and shaking you up. But you were persuaded because you had that conviction. This faith, this conviction is what God recognized in Abraham. This is what Paul is saying. God recognizes the conviction. God recognized the faith that you have in him. He recognized Abraham's faith, that he credited his faith as righteousness. You can never be righteous if you have no faith. I don't know a person that's unfaithful and righteous. There's a lot of people who look like they're faithful and they're unrighteous. Everyone has faith in something. Even a lack of faith is a kind of faith. You know, the Bible says to each and every one, we have a measure of faith. That measure could be zero. That's a measure. Even a lack of faith is a kind of faith. Some people have little faith, and we feel sorry for them. You ever felt sorry for somebody who had no faith? And you look at them and say, they have no faith. I feel sorry for them. Sometimes folks have a desperate faith. Oh, God. And we pray for them. Sometimes people have a different faith, and we fear them. Sometimes people can have so much faith that we be scared of them. Sometimes people will have a different faith. And then sometimes people have a strong faith, and we admire them. But what is the object of our faith? What is the object of our faith? Let me tell you this morning, if God is not the object of your faith is in something that is wrong. God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, has to be the object of your faith. Because it's important that we understand in whom we believe. It's important to understand who you're putting your trust in. Have faith in God. Jesus didn't say have faith in anything else. He said have faith in God. Have faith in God. When you truly trust him, you'll cross that line of faith. Both feet planted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How do you step across that line of faith? Well, you begin with the word of God. You search the promises of God and believe that what he said and what he is saying about your needs. Amen. Romans 10 and 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can you call on God and have faith in somebody that you don't even believe? I can't call you for money if I believe you don't have money. Amen? What am I going to call you for? But if I believe that you have money, I'll call on you if I need money. How can you call on the Lord? How can you call on God if you don't believe in him? And it further says, and how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? If you don't know of him, how can you believe in him? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? Not only do you have to believe in him, you have to hear about him, and you have to hear some preaching on him. Amen? Because the Bible says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Amen? So I'm here this morning to let you know something else. If you go somewhere and they're not preaching Christ, there's plenty of places you could go. You don't have to be here. But I just want to say to you this morning, if you go somewhere and they are not preaching Christ, consider your ways. Consider your company. Consider where you at. The Bible says, and when you read all of these things and you hear all of these things, it says meditate on those promises until faith comes up in your heart. So what does that mean? That means that you don't just hear it. You don't just read it. It's not just to you. But it says meditate. When you meditate, you take some time. You by yourself. You're in your thoughts. And let your thoughts be with the word and be with God. And meditate and let it take hold, because the word is telling me that it will rise. So if you don't meditate on the word, it's sitting down here at the bottom. And it didn't rise in your heart. It didn't take hold. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, it says, then you will be prosperous and successful. But we want to fast forward to everything and don't want to do what the word is telling us to do. It says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful. You know, when you got half of information, you can't get the job done. You're going to do it wrong because you only got half the instructions. You can't get no license if you only, a driver's license, if you only know how to half drive a car. You got to know how to operate the whole thing. Amen? When you go to a job, they teach you what to do. They don't half teach you. They teach you what to do. And if you listen carefully, come on, somebody. If you don't listen carefully and follow the instructions, you're going to be out of a job. They don't want a half worker. They want a whole worker. Amen? You want to be prosperous. You want to be successful. Now, I want you to realize that when I say prosperous and successful, I am not talking about money. The most prosperous people are broke. The most successful people, they're broke. But they live a rich life. They're prosperous. They're successful. And money don't have anything to do with it. Do I have to explain? Do I need to break it down? How many times have you seen these people with all this money have these sick kids, wishing they could pay somebody to get their health right? How many times have you seen successful people have so many problems in their life? You know why? Because they sold their soul for that, for success. I'm here to say that God must be the clear object of our faith. He is the foundation for our faith. He must be the basis of our faith. Our faith relies on the reliability of God, not upon the changing feelings of the human heart. When we say that God must be the foundation of our faith, we sing the song, our hope, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking. It's sinking sand. We must put our faith in God's word because of God. Faith in God's word is faith in God who stands behind his word. Listen, man will give you his word and turn back on his word and say, I didn't mean that. I really didn't mean that. Oh, you must have mistaken what I said. I really didn't mean that. I meant this. Have you noticed that the word of God hasn't changed in all of these years since it's been written? The word of God remains the same. Hallelujah. And it's in the word of God. It is in the word of God that we have authority, because he is the ultimate authority in the universe. Therefore, we choose to believe God's word. And we are choosing the God who stands behind his word. That's what Abraham did. He stood behind the God that stood behind his word. And this is what we should do. And that is faith. You have to draw your line in the sand in your mind and in your heart. Amen? You got to go to your prayer room, because I know people have prayer rooms and little places that you go to pray wherever it is. But if you don't take that faith in your prayer room, I'm here to tell you this morning, you just praying loud and saying nothing. Draw a line in that prayer room. Maybe you need to draw a line so you can be reminded that I stand on God's word. Sometimes a visual thing will give you the idea, the understanding of where you need to be. You need to be able to say, in the presence of God, in the presence of all the angels that are around, and in the face of the devil, I am stepping. Across this line of faith. Step across the line of faith. Tell the devil, from this moment on, it's done deal. It's done. That was done. Start speaking as though it is already done in your life. Whatever it is done. Step across that line of faith. Don't hold back nothing. Be fully persuaded. Turn your back on your circumstances. Step over the line. Turn your back on your doubts. Step over the line. Turn your face to Jesus. Step over the line. Look. Look to where your help is going to come from. Step over the line. Come on, somebody. Somebody need to give God a hand right now. Somebody need to praise the Lord right now. Somebody needs to know that their faith is increasing right now. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor anything, any creature can separate me from the love of Christ. I want to know, are you persuaded this morning? Oh, hallelujah. I confess with your mouth. Let the enemy know. Let Satan know. devil, get behind me. You need to step and tell the devil to get to stepping. Come on, somebody. Tell him, devil, you can't have me no more. Start speaking life into your life. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Go today. Go to your prayer room. Take a piece of tape and put it down. Make that line of demarcation. Cross over to the other side. It's time to cross. Go on through your Red Sea. Your Red Sea of doubt. Go ahead and go through it. Hallelujah. God's going to part it for you. Somebody preached, the minister preached, don't look at the storm. Just keep on walking. Just don't look down. Don't look at the storm. Life has its storms. Don't look at the storm. Hallelujah. Storms will come and storms are going to go, but you just keep on stepping. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep increasing your faith. Hallelujah. You'll be free. You'll be persuaded. You'll be successful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those things in your life that you have been considering dead, God is going to bring it back to life. Oh, he's going to bring it back to life. Don't you want the dead to come to life? He's going to bring it back to life. Your children who think that you're dead to them, he's going to bring those relationships back to life. Those jobs that keep closing doors on you, he's going to open those doors. He's going to bring it back to life. All of the situations that you think are dead, call on the name of Jesus. He's not a dead God. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I can see the devil on the day that Jesus Christ rose. He said, oh, he's alive. He's alive, alive, alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive. Come on, somebody. I got a live God. I got a live Christ. I got a live belief. I got a live. I'm alive. I'm alive. Draw your line in the sand. Step over the line of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch God do the impossible in your life. I dare you right now to step over into the line of faith. Don't do it for me, do it for you. Do it for your family. Do it for your husband. He don't want to come to church, he ain't safe. Step over the line and start believing. I know a woman in here right now ain't never thought that I'd be standing here right now. But the devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Because I got two dead parents that said one day, one of my children, I don't know if I'll be here to see it, but one of them is going to be preaching the word of God. I don't know which one. I got five, but one. Whatever your situation is, you might not be alive for it, but it ain't dead. Somebody cross over the line this morning. God does things in his time, in his perfect will, in the fullness of his time. He didn't say in the fullness of your time. But in the fullness of his time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Draw your line of faith this morning. Draw it in your mind. Hallelujah. Draw it in your heart. Make a decision. And don't turn back. Oh, hallelujah. I think I need to say that again. He said, don't turn back. Jesus said, you know, if you turn back, you're not worthy of being called one of my disciples. You're not worthy. Don't turn back. We sing a song, no turning back. No turning back. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's time to enhance your decision-making skills. It's time to make a decision and stick to it. You got to serve one or the other. Ain't no in between. It is or it isn't. It is or it ain't. No turning back. You won't be standing there that day going, humming, 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 humming. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. No turning back. And he hates. He absolutely hates. He hates lukewarmness. Woo! Either you're hot or you're cold. You're either hot or you're cold. Either you're for him or you're not. Where you at? I want to know this morning, where you at? Did you cross that line of faith this morning? Hallelujah. Where you at? You got to do some self-evaluation. You got to do some thinking. You got to be honest with yourself. And if you can't be honest with yourself, find somebody who will tell you where you at. Because a good friend will tell you that. They're not going to lie to you. They're going to let you know you're a little funky in here today. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're going to look at you and say, what's going on with you? You ain't, something's going on. You ain't the way you're supposed to be. You don't want that person keep patting you, 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 patting you. To you in the ground on your way to hell. And I'm here to let you know it can happen to each and every one of us. That's why the scripture said to be careful. We got to be careful. We get too cocky and unconcerned. Like we already got it made. There ain't nobody in here alive got it made till you dead. And you made it. Ain't no Teflon Christians. Christ ain't the Don. Each and every day you got to put on the full armor of God. And the biggest part of that armor is the shield. It's the shield. It's the shield of faith. So it can cover you from head to toe. Hallelujah. The shield. Because that shield blocks every other thing that's being thrown your way. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Anything being shot at you, any arrow being bowled back and being coming at you, any fiery darts of the enemy, the shield helps you to stand and to withstand. You can't just stand, but you got to withstand. How's your faith this morning? Where you at? Let us stand. Hallelujah.